Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. Uh-huh. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy and it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee. For fallen leaves, the ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your door, y'all magnify, y'all cut his grace.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. He is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, to bring to you his great, holy and exalted words, the words of Yah. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All I'm going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our lawgiver. He's our king. He is our judge, and he is our only savior, and not just of Israel, but he is the only savior of the world. And I thank the Most High Yah for allowing us to come before you this night. Tonight, we're going to go a different direction than some of the other nights. We're going to focus on the last days. And when focusing on the last days, it's quite necessary and essential. And only possible to deal with King David. So we're going to deal with King David in the last days. This is not just going to be one subject on King David in the last days, because there's a lot of things that you want to know about the man David. Of course, the world still don't know, because the world have been tricked and bamboozled to believe that someone else is returning to redeem them. And we only have one redeemer, and that's the Most High himself. But the Creator said he will return one at a certain time in the last days and in his lifetime. And during his return, Yah will redeem Israel. But as I was stating, a lot of people really just don't know about this man David. And they don't know about how the Almighty has proposed to redeem our people. And we're going to deal with that. And I also know, and I am aware, that the mass majority of our listening audience, most of the people probably don't even know who they are. And so we're going to deal with that also over the course of these days, so that you can see the Creator has proposed, desired, and even prophesied that the so-called African American here in this country, as well as many of our brothers and sisters, the Afro-Mexicans and the Afro-Hispanics and the Afro-people that have been brought from the continent of Africa, in particularly the land of Israel, on slave ships. Not all our people, not all our fathers, but many of them, through the Atlantic slave trade, Many of them came to these shores and shores that have scattered them throughout the four corners of the earth, north, south, east, and west. This is not only prophecy, but this is history. And how can you talk about the last days without talking about King David? And how can you talk about the last days without talking about the true identity of the true people of the Most High, which he called the house of Israel? And I know people under the impression that we call ourselves the house of Israel because some slick things we came up with. No. When Maria Elisha decided to call his congregation years ago the house of Israel, it is only because he seen it in the scriptures. He seen it in the book. And he seen that this was the only house that Yah called us, the house of Israel. All these other names, they're fine if you want to call yourself that. But the Creator called us the house of Israel. And so in these last days, there's a lot of things that will happen. And we're going to go through the various things that will happen to the house of Israel. And particularly what King David would do, as well as the identity of the 12 tribes. We will deal with that. And we will deal with our going out. We already in. And we're going to deal with our going out. And we might also have an opportunity to deal with the possibilities of when we will go out. And are we prepared for this? So we have a lot to discuss, but the very first thing I want to discuss is one of the main players that is prophesied about concerning the last days. And the first thing I want you to see concerning the last days is in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. We turn there for a second because it was prophesied. In the book of Genesis 15, what we're going to be speaking about. And this is what it says. In Genesis, the 15th chapter. And I'll start reading at the 13th verse. And he said unto Abram, speaking about the Most High, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. And I may add, we're the only people that have been taken out of our land through the act of captivity, slavery, bondage, and never to return. This is our plight. Our people was cast out of their land many years ago. And many years, we're still out of our land. Now, you have a lot of people say, well, this Israelite thing, these Hebrew, what they're talking about ain't true. Talking about they the chosen people of the Most High. Talking about they the original people. Talking about they are the chosen of the Most High. And one day they will return home. Yes, who else will have that type of conversation and dialogue? Because nobody else was taken out of their land as we were and as we are. We're the only people been taken out of our land through the act of captivity as we are this day. And of course, even the heathens have records proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that there was a people brought to the shores of America, and they remain here to this day for nearly 400 years. Now, is that a coincidence? Or is that prophecy? See, you can call it prophecy once you see it was written way before it will come to pass. No one else can claim this. And no one else has claimed this. Now, you got some people who say, well, that prophecy already happened. And we say, well, when? When did this happen in history? Just tell us. They say, well, this happened in Egypt. Well, in Egypt, they weren't in Egypt 400 years. Where they were afflicted. And where they served their enemies. For 400 years. As a matter of fact, according to the scriptures, and I just want you to see this, because at the end of the day, we got to make all the crooked things straight. And this is one of the biggest crooked things that you will see concerning the last day. Now, there's a few other big crooked things concerning the last days, but this is one of them. And you'll read this in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. And what are we discussing? We're discussing King David in the last days. And this is in the book of Exodus 12. And we're going to start reading at the 40th verse. And I may add some Israelites teach this. It says in Exodus 12 and 40, now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt were 430 years. You see that? There's a difference between 400 years and 430 years. Furthermore, it didn't say nothing about it being afflicted for 400 years. It says the sojourning of the children of Israel. In other words, because we lived there, we sojourned there. As a matter of fact, our father Yosef was one of the greatest men that ever lived in Egypt. One of the greatest. And for hundreds of years, our people lived real good and free. It was just the latter part of their captivity. We don't know if it was 200 years or 100 years, but it surely wasn't 400 years. We do know that. Well, how do I know that? Well, when Joseph started to rule in Egypt and stood before Pharaoh, he was 30 years old. And when he died something like at 110 years old. That's almost 100 years by itself. just the life of Joseph. And then you talk about the life of his children. And I may add, the scriptures say when a new king rose up, he didn't even know Joseph. He didn't know his prominence. He didn't know what Joseph had done. He didn't know the greatness of Joseph. And it takes a little time to forget how instrumental Joseph was to Egypt. He saved Egypt through the hands of the Most High. That's why he was so great. So, no, this Egypt was not the 400 years that the Creator was speaking about. No, we in the 400 years that the Most High was speaking about. And that 400 years is coming to an end. So all the Israelites that have been telling people, we the original Hebrews, we the original seed, we the original blood descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Well, we're going to see if all these things were true. Because the time is coming. Now, do we know the exact time of the 400 years? No. But we know we are around that time. We're in that season. But go back to Genesis, the 15th chapter. And let's read that again so you won't be confused about when this is talking about. Because no other time in history has this ever happened except with our fathers and with us here in America. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards shall they come out with great substance. And I know many people also under the impression that there are Israelites that have returned back to the land of Israel. Did not they fulfill prophecy? Well, they didn't fulfill prophecy. Or this prophecy, they might have fulfilled prophecy, but they didn't fulfill Genesis, the 15th chapter, because Yah hadn't judged this nation yet. So how can you go home and the nation hadn't even been judged? That's what it says. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. And afterwards, in other words, after Yah judged this nation, shall they come out with great substance. And surely the people that return, they definitely didn't come out with great substance at all, by no stretch of the imagination. That did not happen. These things are still waiting to be fulfilled. Now, if you know you have an expected end and you're going to come out with great substance, then why would you begin your passports and all your book bag together and all your stuff together before you get your great substance? What, you going to leave, then come back and get it? No, that's not what prophecy says. And the Almighty said, blessed are those that wait on me. The Almighty wants you to believe in him and see what he's telling you is the truth. And so, this is the first thing that we have to concern ourselves with. Now let us get into the prophecy of these 400 years. Because when it deals with the last days, it's talking about these 400 years. And when it's dealing with the latter years, it's speaking about these 400 years. And when it's speaking about David, it's speaking about these 400 years. And this is what I want you to see. For example, the very first time, the very first prophecy that you will see concerning the man, King David, is in the book of Genesis, the 49th chapter. Even before this man ever was, he was already discussed and talked about. Most people don't know this because they don't know prophecy. And really, to be quite frank, the only people that know prophecy are the people that Yah deal with himself. We only think these people, other people know prophecy. They don't know prophecy. They don't know the Creator's word at all. In the book of Genesis 49, and this is what it says in the 8th verse. Yehuda, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Yehuda is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? Watch what it says. 10th verse. The scepter shall not depart from Yehuda. Now, Yehuda haven't even got no scepter yet. They ain't even got no scepter yet. But the scepter shall not depart from Yehuda, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In other words, just letting you know, the scepter represents a kingship, a kingdom. And who's going to rule this kingdom? Somebody from Yehuda. And who's going to be the lawgiver? Well, the king from Yehuda. And then it says, this scepter shall not depart from Judah nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And everybody want to know what Shiloh. What is Shiloh? What is Shiloh? Well, Shiloh is just the ancient name of Jerusalem. Shiloh is a place, but it's a place where the king will rule. That's who and what Shiloh is. And to this kingdom come, Yehuda is always going to be the lawgiver. And when this kingdom rests, it's going to be with one particular special Israelite from the tribe of Yehuda. And we're going to show you who that is. And when our people gather themselves together, as the scriptures say all over the scriptures, that's one of the prophecies that's got to take place. Who do you think they're going to gather themselves together to? It says again, and unto him. Who is him? This lawgiver. Shall the gathering of the people be? And where do you think that's going to take place? And how would it take place? We got to discuss all these things because the crooked things have to be made straight. It says in the 11th verse, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass coats unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine. his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. And a lot of people don't understand this metaphor here. And we're going to show you, and we're going to let you know what these things mean, so you can understand every word. Because every word of Elohim is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And surely we don't want to be found liars. So we discuss in King David in the last days. And this is one of the prophecies of one that will come to rule in the last days from the tribe of Yehuda. If you don't believe that this is a prophecy of the last days, all you have to do is read Genesis 49 and 1. This is what it says. And Yaakov called all his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Yeah, this was some time to come. And they didn't even have to mention the name, because prophecy is going to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt who this is. Furthermore, speaking about the last days, in the book of Numbers, the 24th chapter, that's when Jacob spoke. But this was a vision of this soothsayer of Moab, whose name was Balaam. And the Almighty was showing this vision. And watch the vision that he seen in Numbers 24, verse 16. And this is what it says. He hath said, which heard the words of Elohim, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not near. There shall come a star out of Yaakov, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And what do you think this star is? Some people say the shield of the Mogen Dawid, the shield of David. Some people tell you that's a wicked symbol. But regardless of what you think it is, a star indeed came out of Jacob. A scepter indeed rose out of Israel. And this is what he's prophesied to do. He shall smite the corners of Moab. And this prophecy is about Moab, the Moabites. Who do you think Balaam and Balaam is? They Moabites. And shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Shep. Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies. Not only Edom, which is Esau, but Mount Seir, where they reside. And Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Yaakov shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And some of these things were done, but not the whole total vision, because there's many that still remain in the city. Well, of course, there's a whole lot remain in the city. When we took over the land, we didn't destroy everybody we were supposed to destroy. And the Almighty still want them to be destroyed. So this thing still has to be fulfilled. So again, another prophecy concerning only one that could fit the shoes of this prophecy, one out of Yehuda. The first time King David's name was mentioned is in the book of Ruth. I want you to see this in the book of Ruth, because you might want to know why. Now, who was Ruth? Ruth just so happened to be a Moabite. And we just got finished reading about a vision from Moab. And the Almighty used this Moabite as an instrument to show his vision. And this Moabite woman, her name was Ruth. And according to the scriptures, she was a virtuous woman. This virtuous woman rejected and denounced the God of the Moabites, but cleaved unto the Elohim of Israel. And as a result of cleaving unto the Elohim of Israel, as well as the people of Israel, the Creator blessed her. And this is how she blessed her. This is how he blessed her. In the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter. That's why the Creator said, my ways are not your ways, nor are my thoughts your thoughts. Who knew that one of the first visions about this David, this king, will come out of the mouth of a Moabite soothsayer? Who knew? And who knew that one of the mothers, the great-great-grandmother of this great king, also would be a Moabite? Look what it says in the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter. And we're going to start reading at the ninth verse. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witness this for all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, told you she was a Moabite, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren and from the gate of his place. Ye are witnesses this day. And all the people that were in the gate and the elders said, we are witnesses. Yah made the woman that is coming to thy house like Raquel and Leah, which two did build the house of Israel, and do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem. And let the house be like the house of Phares, whom Tamar bare unto Yehuda. Of the seed which Yah shall give thee of this young woman. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, Yah gave her conception, and she bare a son. Now, I may add, that's why, see, the Creator wants you to clearly know his ways or not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Here it is. We hate on everybody, but in truth, here's a Moabite who couldn't even, the Almighty cut them off, wanted them destroyed totally. Moabite can't even come into the house of Yah. But we hear this great woman who was a Moabite was very great in Israel. So don't underestimate what Yah would do, because his ways, they're just not our ways. It says in the 14th verse, and the woman said unto Naomi, blessed be Yah, which I have not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel, and he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thy old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, have borne him. And Naomi took the child, and laid it in her bosom, and became nurse unto it. And the woman, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. This is the first time his name is even mentioned in the book of Ruth, one of the most virtuous women that ever lived. And this is where we come from. So who is this man that was prophesied even before he came? He was foretold already, talked about, and came from great stock. Nothing that any of us would ever choose. Someone who want to come from a mixed race. None of us want to come from some mixed race. Unless you just want to be holy. Unless you just want to be righteous. You can't determine what you come from and who you came from. But you can determine if you want to keep Yah's commandments. Because if it mattered that much, then Ruth would have never chose Israel. And she did. So who is this man? The great-great-grandson of this virtuous woman. Well, let's see why Yah loved this man so much and why he was prophesied even before he came. Because then you can understand why we're the only people that's teaching about him. And of course, it's our prayer, if you want to go by the scriptures, you also will discuss and talk about him. Not in a negative way that we hear. Not in the negative adjectives we hear about. So we're going to make the crooked thing straight. Because watch what Yah has to say about this man. And then you can understand the last days why he will return. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, and watch what it says. We're talking about King David in the last days. Because there's a lot of things that will happen. But ain't no sense of reading about the last days and you don't even know about King David. That makes no sense at all. Watch what it says. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. And this is what it says. Beginning at the 13th verse, because I like getting right to the point. Ain't no sense of me fluffing everything for you. Let's just get to the point and watch what it says. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. And what did Saul do? Well, he disobeyed the Most High. And who was Saul? Saul was the first king of Israel. The people wanted a king, and even though the Creator told them, this king ain't going to be no good for you, this king going to take your children and your money and your gold, he's going to take your daughters to himself, he's going to make your sons servants, he's going to take your horses, he's going to do this, he's going to do that. And the people still said, well, we want a king. So Yah gave him a king. But it was in his anger. And this is what it says. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of Yah thy Elohim, which you've commanded thee. For now would Yah have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. Yah has sought him a man after his own heart. And Yah have commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which Yah have commanded thee. You see? In other words, Yah wanted a man after his own heart. Now, what type of heart do Yah have? To want a man after his own heart. Well, who can go against ever is in Yah's heart? Whatever is in Yah's heart is righteous. Whatever is in Yah's heart is good. Whatever is in Yah's heart is perfect. Whatever is in Yah's heart is righteous. And he wanted a man after his own heart. And when he found this man, because he did, it was not the men that you hear about today, like JC or Elijah Muhammad or Prophet Muhammad or any other man, Haile Selassie. No, these are not the men that Yah found after he said he found the man after his own heart. I'm going to show you who this man is, and it's not none of them. Now, think about this. I just want you to see, once again, that Yah sought. What do that mean? 14 verse again, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. Yah have sought him a man after his own heart. In other words, if you sought for something, that means you're seeking it. If you're seeking something, that means you're searching for it. And Yah searched for this man, and he found him. Let me show you who Yah found. The man that Yah was finding that was a man after his own heart. Because ain't no sense of talking about King David in the last days, and you don't even know the man. And our people don't even know this man. Not the way I hear them talk about. They obviously don't know the man. And we're about to show you the man David, so you can understand what Yah was saying, a man after his own heart. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter, and this is in the first verse. Watch what it says. Now Yah said unto Samuel, how long will thou mourn for Saul, seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thy horn with oil and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And Yah said, take an heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to Yah, and call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which Yah spake. And you notice, Yah didn't even tell Samuel who this was until the last hour. In other words, he never gave Samuel a heads up other than where to go. Of course, our people, they think the only way something can be done, right, you got to know in advance. Choose your successor now. No, it don't happen like that all the time. You got to understand the way the Creator works. A lot of people, they want stuff, we need to do things in advance. But that's not how Yah works. That's not how He works. You got to understand how the Most High works. That's how you work. That's your way. That's your thought. But some things Yah never tell you until the last minute, the very last minute. And here He told Samuel, go to this house, to this family, anoint this king, and he didn't even know who to anoint. Call, and Samuel did that which Yah spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peacefully? And he said, peacefully, I am come to sacrifice unto Yah. Sanctify yourselves. Come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely Yah anointed us before him. And watch what Yah said. But Yah said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. In other words, that ain't who I chose. Don't look on his countenance. How he look and how tall he is. And but Yah said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For Yah seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but Yah looketh on the heart. See, Yah even look different than we do. And he see different than we do. Yeah, of course, he's Elohim. He's the Creator. Yes, we know that, but Yah is trying to teach us how to look at things, how to see things. If you start looking at the heart of people, then you'll know that some beautiful things that you look at ain't what they seem. And likewise, you look on the outer appearance, you might think this person ain't worthy of something, and they might be. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither have Yah chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither have Yah chosen this. And again, Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Yah have not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, goodly to look to. And Yah said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. In other words, he was left out with the sheep. Wasn't even going to eat dinner because he was not one that man would choose. But he was something that Yah will choose. And this is, should be a lesson to all of us. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the spirit of Yah came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So the spirit of Yah came upon David. And that's the type of man you want to be around. A man that has the spirit of Yah, the spirit of Elohim. And let me show you how strong David's spirit was and why he was so loved and so beloved. It wasn't because the way he looked. It wasn't because how young he was. It wasn't because how great of a warrior he became. Let me show you why the Almighty loved this man so much and why he's the topic of our discussion even in these last days. You'll read about him in the book of 1 Kings, the 15th chapter. Because ain't no sense of talking about King David in the last days, and you don't know who this man is. So you have to familiarize yourself with this man. The first time he was prophesied about is in the book of Genesis 49. When it was talking about the last days. And it's talking about the scepter that will not depart from Yehuda. And how he will have dominion. And he will be the lawgiver. And how his brothers will praise him. The second prophecy about him was a vision that came from Moab, or a vision from the Most High, but he allowed a Moabite to even see it. A Moabite named Balaam. None but a soothsayer. Not a prophet. It's just the Almighty allowed him to see this vision. And he told this vision to Balaam. Who was a ruler in Moab. And then, who would David come from? This great woman, who was a Moabitess woman, who also was from Moab, who the Creator deemed as righteous and virtuous. This is who he will come from. He was an Israelite. He had an Israelite father. His father was a Hebrew. But his great-great-grandmother was a Moabite. And the Creator, when he rejected the first king that he said wasn't going to be good, even before he was chosen, and we didn't care that he wasn't going to be no good, because the Almighty told us even before he was chosen, he wasn't going to be no good. We still wanted him. The Almighty rejected him, and he sought a man after his own heart. This man was David. And he put his spirit on this man. And he said his spirit never departed from him. And I'm about to show you why. And you read it in the book of 1 Kings, the 15th chapter. And this is what it says. The very first verse. Now in the 18th year of King Jehoram, the son of Nebat, reign of Abiam over Yehuda. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with Yah his Elohim, as the heart of David his father. See, David's heart was perfect with Yah. His heart was perfect with Yah. Show you how perfect his heart was. Nevertheless, for David's sake, did Yah his Elohim give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David, this is why this was done. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of Yah, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in a matter of Uriah the Hittite. You see how perfect this man is? The only blemish the Almighty said this man had was in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. That was his blemish. And I may add, it is the only blemish that the world talk about. All the false preachers, they all talk about this blemish. But they all wish they can be like David. All of them. David was the standard bearer. And what was he the standard bearer of? A perfect heart. And what made his heart so good, so perfect? Well, Almighty said he sought a man after his own heart, and Yah's heart is perfect. So why would you think David would have anything less when the Almighty sought a man after his own heart? Now, can you see this man David? Maybe you didn't see before, but maybe you can see him now. And maybe now, when the scriptures tell you, and we're going to get to those scriptures to show you, there's only two things in the scriptures, or two entities that the Almighty told us to seek. And that's him and David. Now you can understand why. Because this man was perfect. Except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Now, how many matters can we count with you and I or any of us? Now, this man, David, he knew in his lifetime how special he was to the Most High. He knew that. He didn't understand why Yah thought he was so special. He didn't understand. David was always perplexed and puzzled by the fact that the Almighty would just bless him and be with him as he was. He just couldn't understand that why. But make no mistake about it. He knew that Yah was with him and that he was special. Show you how David would even talk about himself in the book of Psalms. Let's go there first. Psalm 16. So we can just go by David's words. And then after David's words, go by other people's words about this David. And of course, we can go by Yah's words, because that's what these are anyway. Watch what it says in the book of Psalm 16. Because there's no sense to talk about King David in the last days, and you don't even know the man David. You don't know why he's so special. You don't even know why we're talking about him. Now, ask yourself, if Christ was as important as David was, then why Yah didn't talk about him? As a matter of fact, any of these fellas that you want to put above David and beside David and by David and Yahshua and Yahshua and Yahushua and all the various names that he's given, and we call him JC. Why didn't Yah say something about him if he was this special, this peculiar, this perfect, this honorable, this loved? Do you know what David actually means? Well, David means beloved. Because if you want to see somebody beloved by the Most High, then you got to know this David. And David knew he was beloved. Watch what it says. Psalm 16. And we're going to start reading at the 8th verse. Watch what it says. I've set Yah always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou, speaking of the Most High, for thou will not leave my soul in hell. And hell just means the grave. Neither will thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy hand, at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And yes, David knew about the pleasures at the right hand of the Most High. He knew better than most. And he also knew that the Almighty would not leave his soul in hell. He knew that also. Unlike some of us. Some, when they go down, They going down never to come back up. But not so with David. And why? Because he was beloved. What do you think David means? Beloved. And what do it say in Psalm 17? See, David talked about these things when he was alive. He sung about these things. These things are not surprising. They only a revelation because of Yah's servant who he sent to let us know these things. And once Yah's servant let us know these things, only the wicked begin to fight against these things. What, did David lie about his soul being left in hell? Watch what he say in the book of Psalm 17. If he lied here in the 13th verse, it says, "Arise, O Yah, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword." That's all the wicked is the sword of Yah. And Yah can stop the sword at any time from men, which are thy hand, O Yah, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasures. They are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babies. That's why the wicked know that they're not going to be forever. They already know that. So they're trying to mount up as much as they can and leave to their babies, like Donald Trump and all. They want to get inheritance because they know once they go down, they never will rise again. So they trying to get theirs now. And watch what it says. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Because David knew that one day he will return. But when he returned, it will be with the likeness of the Most High. See, it's one thing to be in the image of Elohim, but it's a whole nother thing to be in his likeness. And you want to be in his likeness. And David knew it. Furthermore, that's not all David knew. I'll show you something else David knew. And you'll read this. I'd be remiss of not reading this. And then we'll go to the other scripture. Well, let me not deviate right now. And I'm going to show you this. I want you to see this, how why David was the way he was. But go to the book of Psalm 49. See, because David knew in his lifetime, Yah loved him. He was very beloved. And that he will be redeemed. See, he knew this. This was no mystery. It's just our people just don't know the man David. Because if they knew the man David, they would know this. And watch what it says in the book of Psalm 49. See, it wouldn't even be any debates who the Messiah is and who Yah's anointed. And it wouldn't even be a debate. We're reading you things that even a child can understand. And watch what it says. Psalm 49. Verse 12. Let's start at Let's start at the 10th verse. This is what it says. For he seeth that the wise men die, likewise the fool, and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Because like I told you, that's all the wicked can do anyway. The inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names, because this is how they keep their name going. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. In other words, man being in honor abides not. He is like the beasts that perish. And if you know anything about a beast that perish, a beast go and the beast is gone. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying, Selah. Like sheep, they are laid in a grave. Death shall feed on them. The upright shall have dominion over them in the morning. And their beauty shall consume in a grave from their dwelling. But Elohim will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me. Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. Don't be afraid of that. For when he dies, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. In other words, he ain't going to have no glory down there. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. And the Almighty already let us know that the wicked understand nothing. But he that seeks Yah understand all things. So David knew that the Most High, that Elohim, will redeem his soul from the power of the grave. There was no question in his mind. And why? Because he was beloved. Why? Because Yah saw the man after his own heart. And why? Because he didn't turn aside from any of the commandments except of the matter of Uriah the Hittite. This is the man they're not going to teach you about. Look what Scripture says. In the book of Psalm 132. So you can know the man before we get into these last day prophecies, so you'll know why this man is who he is. Because a lot of people ask, who is this David? This murderer, this adulterer. Yeah, well, this was a man out there. Yah's own heart. That's who he is. Yes, what about him? Yeah, what about him? Yeah, Yah gonna redeem him from the power of the grave. Yeah, what's up? Watch what it says in Psalm 132. And watch what it says. First verse. Yah remember David in all his afflictions. Because this is a servant talking about his master David. All through the songs, he got many songs that they just talking about David. How he sworn to Yah and vowed unto the mighty Elohim of Yaakov, surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house. This is the type of heart this man had. Nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for Yah, a habitation for the mighty Elohim of Yaakov. In other words, until he found a house for Yah, he didn't even sleep in his own bed. Lo, we heard of it at Ephratah. We found it in the fields of the wood. We will go into his tabernacles. We will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Yah, unto thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and thy saints shout for joy for thy servant. David said, turn not away from the face of thy anointed. Yah has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of his body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children would keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forever. For Yah have chosen Zion. He have desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her with priests with salvation. Her saints shall shout aloud for joy. And watch the 17th and 18th verse. There will I make the horn of David to bud. You notice it didn't say nothing about his descendants. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I've ordained a lamp for my anointing. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his crown flourish. In other words, all the glory, no matter what his sons do, is going back to David. It's ordained for David because he adorned a lamp for his anointed. Furthermore, in the book of Psalms 89, because I want you to see this man, the man David, for his name means beloved, because he was beloved. He didn't even know why he was so beloved, but he was. Because watch this, Psalms 89, 19 verse. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One and says, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. I found David. I told you when you sought for something, and Yah said, I sought for a man after my own heart. I told you it was only one that he found. He said, I found David. Let me read that again. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and says, I've laid help upon one that is mighty. I've exalted one chosen out of the people. And I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Not JC, not Yahshua, and not any other man. With whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him. Nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my Elohim, and the rock of my salvation. Also, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. And you can read this whole Psalm 89. One more scripture I want you to see. That not only this man, David, was prophesied even before he became then once he came on the scene, he knew that he was beloved. He knew that he was going to be redeemed from the power of grace. For his name means beloved. And who you think was talking and saying, I'm going to be redeemed from the power of the grave, and he will not leave my soul in hell? Well, that was David saying those things. Just like David said this in the book of 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter. Because David knew he was beloved. And he knew what he was ordained to be. Now, he didn't know why Yah chose him. He was astonished about it. He was perplexed. But Yah said his ways are our ways, nor is his thoughts our thoughts. You were the chosen. We got many that still talk about him, but he's beloved by Yah. In the book of 1 Chronicles, the 28th chapter, the very first verse. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers, with the mighty men, with the valiant men, unto Jerusalem. In other words, everybody that was somebody, David assembled them together. Then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren. He didn't say, hear me, my subjects, because this wasn't that type of man. This is a man after Yah's heart. He said, hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of Yah and for the footstool of our Elohim. And I had made ready for the building. In other words, he had all the money. He had all the wood. He had all the gold, the silver, he had everything prepared for this house, and he was ready to build it himself. But Elohim said unto me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. And when the Almighty told David that, David didn't get mad and turn from Yah and act like Yah rejected him. He knew Yah was righteous. This was Yah's judgment. So watch what David says. How be it? In other words, I didn't do that, but how be it? Yah Elohim of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. And what's forever? Forever. In other words, there is no man that ever claimed this, and there is no man that could ever claim this except for David. This man knew he would be king forever. He knew he would be redeemed. He knew his soul would not be left in hell. And why? Because he was beloved. And why? Because Yah saw the man after his own heart. And why? Because his heart was perfect with Yah. And why? Because he did not turn aside from any of the commandments of Yah, with the exception of the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And watch what it says. Howbeit, Yah Elohim of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Yehuda to be the ruler, and of the house of Yehuda, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liketh me to make me king over all of Israel, and of all my sons, for Yah have given me many sons. He have chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of Yah over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. And I'm going to show you something in conclusion, because this is what he said about all his sons, something that he never said about David. 7th verse. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. And he gave all of David's sons that opportunity, constant to do his commandments and his judgments. And we know that they didn't, because Yah knew that David would return. So this is the man David. Maybe you didn't know him before, but now, if you've been listening, you do. And the Almighty has charged him and prophesied about him and what he would do in the last days. But first, you needed to meet him. So until tomorrow, Yah love you, and so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yah, do I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh, Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient as a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease.